Talk more about aging. Isn't it natural for the body to grow old, age, and die? Well, of course it is. But we could talk about the quality of aging, can't we? And we could talk about the fact that we are supposed to mature, and part of maturing is a natural aging process. However, haven't you ever observed when someone has gone through a period of rapid aging where they suddenly look much, much older, that it always follows a time of incredible trauma or tension in their lives? Now, that's your first clue, that we should age gracefully, but we generally don't. We usually age as a consequence of trauma and heartache and et cetera, because what we do is we usually age within the power of the perception of, if I only knew why this happened, I could let it go. And until such time, I will leave a part of my soul at every one of these experiences that I am waiting for an explanation for. And I will leave my soul here, waiting for a letter from God to explain to me why this happened. And until that happens, I will leave my soul here. And with every part of that, I want you to picture this as though I now have my hands on my head, on the top of my head, and with every unit of my prana or life force or grace, you see, my supply goes down and down and down, and the more it goes down, the faster I age. It's as simple as that. There is a direct balance. So yes, we're supposed to mature and age gracefully, literally with grace, full of grace, but we don't do that because we are being managed, if you will, by the perception, if I only knew why this happened, then I could let it go and move on. And if you want to change the rate at which you are aging, give up facelifts. Go home with yourself and say, where have I left myself? Where am I? And literally make a list and put it on your bedroom wall or your wherever it is you know you're going to see it. And start beginning to imagine. Imagine does not mean not real. Imagine means to image with power, that you are transmitting units of your spirit to each of those places every day, and then your discipline becomes, I call my spirit back from this perception. I call my spirit back from this memory. I don't want you hanging out in that memory anymore. Come here, come here. And let me give you an example so that you know the difference. If I held this card in front of you and said, how many of you simply have to have this index card with you for the rest of your life or you will be unhappy? Okay. Now you see the absurdity of that? My point is, this index card does not contain any of your circuits. Not one of you has transmitted to this index card a unit of your spirit. This is how your history needs to feel to you. You can see it, you can talk about it, but it has no clout. You can move it through all of your energy system, and there isn't one part of your biology that collapses in pain, weakness, or exhaustion because this perception has passed through the cell tissue. All right? That gives you a reference point. I remember years ago doing this workshop in Denmark for 61 people with AIDS, 60 of whom smoked. I know, really, I have joked many times, but it really was like doing a workshop in an ashtray. And during one of the breaks, this girl came up to me. She was a woman, but she looked like a girl because she was so very tiny. And her side had been crushed in because she was a prostitute. And it's such a ridiculous word to use for someone of her quality. She wasn't a prostitute. She earned her living in this way. And she had undergone a lot of abuse, and she was addicted to cigarettes. Now, I am a former cigarette smoker, and I was a very serious addict. It's not that I smoked a lot, but I loved every one of them, right? And I still smoke on the astral, I'm sorry to say. I smoke in the dream state. Anyway, I'm convinced heaven is cappuccino and Marlboro Lights 100s. You got it? That's it. Otherwise, I ain't going. So now, this little girl comes up to me during the break time. Now, she's HIV positive, you understand? And she said to me, oh, but Caroline, what if I only smoke 2 cigarettes a day? Who's she talking to? I am a former addict, right? I'm an addict with an A, right? And I looked at her. I'll never forget the gift this girl gave me for the rest of my life. I knew that if I had the cure for AIDS in one hand and cigarettes in the other, and I said to her, darling, direct your spirit. Her spirit, her will, would go to the cigarette. And if I said to her, command your spirit now, tell your spirit, release the addiction and come here to this, to the cure for AIDS, that her spirit was not strong enough to listen to her will. It was being commanded by an addiction. Now, I realize that the subject of this tape is not addiction. But inasmuch as I cannot not bring up addiction when I talk about will, one of the reasons we are such addicts is because the will is the center of your body that must have a master. And if you are not congruent, your mind and your heart are not together. It's like two parents giving two different orders to the same child. The child, your will, must have a master. And if your mind and your heart do not get along, let me give you an example. Your mind knows forgiveness is a higher way of being, but your heart says, no, excuse me, but I have a right to be vengeful and bitter. Now your mind and your heart are not congruent. Your will has no choice but to find something to which it must become addicted. It will either be an attitude, it will be a substance, it'll be a habit, but so long as you're incongruent, you will be an addict. That is just the way it is. Okay? Now, moving on.